just thank you. God, I know that your presence is here and that you have already spoken to us. And God, just as we prayed yesterday, we pray for a revelation of your love today, of your love for us, of your love for the world, of your love for your church, of your love for the lost, of your love for our families. Because God, it's with your love that things change. So God, we invite you to reveal to us how to become more like you, God, because you are love. Show us how to do that well, we pray. And let your word transform us and renew our minds, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What a powerful time with the Lord. Amen. Amen. So this morning, the sermon is titled, Everything Needs to be Filtered by Love. Now, I'm going to go ahead and say this because I might forget otherwise. I'm going to put these up here. Some of what I'm going to say today, I preached last Sunday night, but I really felt, I don't typically re-preach things, but I really felt to reiterate some of these things. You know, the scripture says that Peter and some of the other disciples said, I will put you in remembrance. I will remind you of things. And love is something that is very important. We're going to see that today. And so this is what I asked everybody to take one of these home. So I'm going to leave some up here, and you can come get one during the altar call or at the end of the service. And as I'm going to be preaching from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 7. And verses 4 through 7 in 1 Corinthians 13 explain what biblical love looks like. Because we know the word love is thrown around all the time. I love ice cream, and I love my friends, and I love, you know, I love that house, and I love that restaurant, and, you know, all of those things. But biblical love is defined by the Bible. And these are the biblical definitions of love. And we know that 1 John 4:8 says that God is love. Sadly, a lot of people have a misguided view of God. They don't understand who God is, and they don't recognize what God's personality is like. But God defines himself because he says he is love, and then he defines love for us in the Bible. So I encourage you, if you didn't get one of these and you want to take one of these home, on the left side, you're going to write God on all of these definitions so that you remember God is patient. God is kind. God is not jealous. Now, we'll talk about that later. God is not boastful. God is not proud. God is not rude. God does not demand his own way. Of course, we know there are certain things that God does expect from us, but free will still allows us to do our own thing. Even the God of the universe who created us and everything else allows us to make our own choices. Anyway, so then on the other side, the Bible says that we are supposed to love like he loves. And then I am supposed to love just as I am loved. So I encourage you to write your name on the other side. And in the areas where you say, I wrote mine and I put it on the fridge. Shannon is patient. That's an area I'm working on. Me and the Lord are working on that one. So that's an act of faith for me to write Shannon. Sometimes I'm patient, sometimes I'm not. But this is an encouragement to remember, God, these are the things that with your help I need to become. And so that's what this is. So I'm going to leave that down there. All right. Everything needs to be filtered by love. And I'll explain. Everybody should have gotten a chocolate. If you didn't, let me know, and I will make sure you get one because I have some left over. I'm going to explain why we have those later. So if you want to stand, we're going to read 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, because that was a thing back then, they burned people at the stake. Give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Okay, you can be seated. So we're going to go back to the first verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. So if I speak and I speak with the tongues of men, and maybe I sound really good. Maybe I can give a really good speech. Maybe I'm really good at talking. Or maybe I have the gift. I am baptized in the Holy Spirit and I speak in tongues, because there are people that speak in tongues but don't have love. And if I do that, this is what I sound like. It sounds like noise, okay? Because if I do these spiritual things, this is what we're going to come back to. As Christians, if I am spiritual, but my spiritual life does not reflect into my fleshly life where I intersect with my family and with other people, there is clearly a problem. Because this scripture that we just read says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and I have not love, I've just become noise. Have, the word have, if you look it up, it means to hold, such as possession, continuity, to be able to hold or be possessed with. So I'm going to use a bigger one because so you can see it. But all of you get your chocolate for just a minute. So hold your chocolate in your hand and imagine. Did anybody not get one? Does anybody need chocolate? Oh, you already ate it. Okay. That's okay if you already ate your chocolate. No worries. Yeah. That's true. That love is inside you. Good point, Rick. Okay, so just picture that you have your chocolate in your hand. You can come get another one at the end. Now, imagine everything that I do, as I reach out to people, I have love. I am holding love in my hand. My interactions with my people at work, with my people at home, because some people forget about their Christianity at home. Listen. That's not Jesus. We ain't supposed to look like Jesus at church and not look like Jesus at home. Okay? That's just reality. So every interaction, when I interact, this is very important, with the people at Walmart. Like, Christians should not be rude. It doesn't matter if the person is slow. You should not be rude. That does not reflect the light and the love of Jesus. Okay? Everywhere we go, everything that we do, we should be holding out love to other people, because the Bible said, by this will all men know that you're my disciples. Now, we should be holding out love to other people in the church. The church, sadly, and I don't believe this is true in our church, but it's known for shooting its wounded. That is terrible. It's terrible. Like, if somebody in the church, you know, falls and everybody in the church is gossiping, that should not be. The Bible says if someone is overtaken in a trespass, like in a sin, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Now, we're going to talk about this later. That does not mean that in the church we don't call sin sin and we're not honest about it. Because if you're not being honest about it, you can't be forgiven and you can't be healed. The Bible says whoever covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes will have mercy. So there is a balance. We need both. I need to be holding out love to my husband. I need to be holding out love to my children. I need to be holding out love to, you know, even people that are unlovely and don't love me back. As Christians, we're supposed to love our enemies. So listen, we all need help with this. None of us can do this without Jesus. You cannot live a good Christian life without relationship with the Lord Jesus. You can be a nice person some of the time, and you can be a polite person some of the time, but you cannot love everybody all the time without Jesus. And even with Jesus, we're still working on it, most of us. You know, we're a work in progress. You know, so I should be holding out love. If I am not full of the love of God, it doesn't matter how well I speak or how important the things are that I say. I sound like noise. Though I speak in tongues, if I don't have love, I sound like noise. If you put up the first slide, this is very important. It doesn't matter how spiritual I am. Our spiritual life has to show in the way that we think, the way that we speak, and the way that we treat people. It has to be. The two have to connect. Now, thankfully, my parents were not perfect, but I've heard stories of people that pastors and church leaders that were one way at church and another way at home. We shouldn't be that way. Now, that doesn't mean, the truth is, most of us struggle more with the people that we're close to because we're so comfortable with them. I struggle more with getting angry at Rick than I do any of you. Because why? Because I love him, you know, and I'm comfortable around him. So my real self comes out even when I don't want it to. And then I have to repent and ask God to forgive me, you know, so because that's what we as Christians do. So love is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Fruit is what grows as we spend time with Jesus as Lord. That's why if you are going to hold out love to everybody, but you don't ever read your Bible and you don't ever pray, you're going to struggle. The Christian life is meant to be lived with Jesus, in relationship with him, holding out what he has given to me, giving it to other people. The Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So I feel love. Even this morning, I was so grateful. I was concerned over some things and just burdened. And it was like the Lord kept reminding me, look at me, Shannon. Like during worship, and I will pray, I'm sure, for those people at other times. But worshiping him and focusing on him and staying connected to him is how we are able to offer this love to other people. So, okay, 1 Corinthians 13:2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand, notice, this is a big deal. This is a very spiritual person, like a spiritual Christian giant, okay? Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, just like Jesus said, but have not love, I am nothing. Now, I love this, the way that Paul said this, because Paul did not go, and though you have nothing. He said it from his perspective. He said, if I have all of these great things, because sometimes we can preach to other people when we need to be preaching to ourselves. And so Paul said, if I have all of these things, but I don't have love, I have nothing. I am holding. So if I can do all of these great spiritual things, I can give prophecies in church, and I can give people wisdom, and I look like I have all of this faith. If I don't have love, I have nothing. I'm not holding out love. So I have nothing. Verse 2 is the opposite of what a lot of people would think by looking at these things. But God said, instead of Paul saying, if I have the gift of prophecy, and if I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, I am so powerful. And so wise. I am so spiritual and so anointed. Instead, he said, if I don't have love, I am nothing. Because love connects us, number one, to God. We cannot do this. And listen, you can learn how to do spiritual things in the church and leave off your relationship with God and think that you're okay. We are not okay. We cannot do this without him. So, we see that Jesus said in James 1:26, if your Christianity isn't, well, Jesus didn't say this. I'm going to say what Jesus is going to say in a minute. But in James 1:26, it says, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. The Bible is not afraid to just say it bluntly. I mean, it doesn't get much blunter than that, you know? If I think I'm religious, but I don't bridle my tongue, I am not careful how I speak to my family, to my friends, to my coworkers, to the people at Walmart, then my religion can be useless if I don't let God bridle my tongue. The Bible says no man can tame the tongue. I can't tame my own tongue. I need God to do it. But through relationship with him, he will say, don't say that. Yesterday, there were so many things that I wanted to say in a certain situation, and I heard the Holy Spirit in my, I heard a scripture actually that I haven't read in forever, and it was so funny because it was dealing with a sports thing, and I am not competitive, y'all. I'm just not competitive. I mean, most of my family wins the games. I don't usually win. I mean, and I tell them, I'm here to be with you guys. Now, I like to win every once in a while, but it typically doesn't happen, and that's okay. But, ooh, I was competitive in this moment, and I heard the Holy Spirit saying, do not gloat, Shannon. Like, he brought a scripture back to my mind saying, don't glory, you know? And I had to just push the flesh back down, and there were certain things that I wanted to say so bad. And I heard the Holy Spirit all day, like all day in certain situations when I was talking to multiple people, I heard the Holy Spirit say, don't say it. Like, I mean, he didn't actually say that to me. I just felt, nope, don't say it. So praise the Lord, by his help, I didn't say it. He will help us, okay? Because he is good and he is faithful. But this statement, these statements are huge. Okay, verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, I give away everything that I have and give it so that people have food. And though I give my body to be burned, so I offer my life in sacrifice, if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. So if I give away everything, including myself, without love, it doesn't profit. It doesn't profit means add value. It doesn't add any value. This statement is a huge statement. Like, that's a big deal. A lot of people believe that the good that they do down here for others, even if they don't live by the Bible, will count for them against their sin. Like, you know, I know that I didn't serve God and I didn't really read my Bible, but I did all of these good things, and I just feel like God is so nice and he loves people and he is going to balance. Like, it's all just going to balance out when I get to heaven. That's not in the Bible. In fact, 1 Corinthians 3 says the foundation of our works is Jesus. If we don't have that as the foundation, none of the stuff that we're building is going to matter. And a lot of people do a lot of good things for other people. But if it does not start with love and the love that comes from him, it doesn't add any value because, like I've said lots of times before, because this is the clincher for me. Because if I could, if I tell myself and I believe that my good is really going to balance out my bad, then Jesus never needed to go to the cross. Because I didn't need his death. And that is arrogant. That's arrogant for me to look at God and go, I don't need that. But I expect that you're going to forgive me when I come to heaven and, you know, accept all of these things that I did instead of the main thing that you told me to do. I'm going to offer you all of these other things and think that I'm going to be good when I stand before you. It's arrogance. We can't do that. We have to accept those things the way that he has designed them because he is just. That's why Jesus had to die, because Jesus fulfilled the need for justice. This statement is huge. Matthew 7, 21 through 23, Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So even good works can look like lawlessness to God if they're not founded in love and in a relationship with him. It has to start with him. The things that we do have to start with a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So 1 Corinthians 14:1, I want to show you, as we're going to go into the definition of love now from the rest of the verses. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. But the first two words of that sentence, pursue love. We're supposed to follow someone or something in order to catch them. I'm supposed to be continually seeking to love God and to love people. And I do that through relationship with Him. Because if I really love Him, He will cause me to see how I need to act in other in my other relationships. Now, that will come in multiple ways. It'll come through the Word. It'll come through other people teaching me and telling me. And that's what we're going to talk about. So everything that we do needs to be filtered through love. Everything we say, everything we do, the more we walk with the one who is love, the more we're able to live our lives in love. Because He is love. Oh, I forgot to. Okay, well, we're just going to read all the PowerPoints because I have this printed, but I forgot it. If you go to the next slide. So love. Yes, okay, I said that. You can go ahead on. Yes, thank you. Okay, so love, number one, from verse 4. So these words that we're going to be talking about, these come from 1 Corinthians 13, which is the definition of love according to the Bible. So not like I love ice cream because it tastes so good, but love is patient. That's the first word. Love is patient. The word patient means long-suffering, to be of a long spirit, to patiently endure. So able to accept that the word patient, if you look up the definition, this is, well, really, it really convicted me. Able to accept or tolerate delays, problems, or suffering without becoming annoyed or anxious. Y'all, that is hard. I don't care who you are. Like, that is hard. It's hard. But love is patient. So that's something that God is working on me, because I didn't realize that I was an impatient person, because I'm not necessarily like, I'm pretty flexible and like easygoing for the most part, my personality. But what I have realized is like when I want to do something, I want to do it. And if I ask Rick a question, I want him to answer me. Like, and I don't even realize that I'm being impatient. And in fact, the Lord worked in me in a situation that Rick and I had had an argument, because we are real about the fact that we argue. Like I said, I love it. Those of you that don't argue, but we're not there. We have to talk about a lot of things, though, in our defense. Like, we work together and we live together and we raise children together and we pay bills together and we do everything together. So we have lots of conversations about everything. And in this particular sense, I really thought I was right, and he really thought he was right. And I was really struggling because I just wasn't sure what to do. So finally, I went to an outside source. My mother, we're not even going to go there right now because I can't go there. Anyway, been missing her a lot lately. I asked her, and she told me, Shannon, you were impatient. Like, she just sided with Rick for the, you know, the nerve, literally. Literally the nerve. Like, you're my mother, but, you know, whatever. But that's why I went to her, because she would tell me the truth. And she just said, I mean, I think he's right. You were being impatient. And I was like, oh. Like, because I was like, you know, things, you feel these emotions when you're in these conversations. But the Lord has shown me that's an area where the Lord is working on me still. I still need to grow. So I am submitting that to the Lord, and He is helping me. So love is patient. So this doesn't mean that we have it all together. But in any area that you see, I am not that way, that means that you need to be in conversation with God and admitting your need to grow in it. Not just, well, people just need to understand, I'm just not a patient person. No, that's not love. And we, other people, should not have to just accept your flaws without, you know, and you not apologize for them just because that's how you are. Because that, we can make real mistakes if we think that way. But we also need to be merciful with other people while God is growing them. Okay, number two, love is kind. The word kind, and we talked about this last Sunday night, it means to show oneself useful. Some people think, well, I'm just not a kind person, because they think of kind as just always those like syrupy sweet people. You know, I don't know, y'all, if y'all know Vicki Hafer at the Lighthouse, like, she is just the sweetest woman. Like, she just drips with honey. Like, she really does. Like, I love her. And she, to me, is like that all the time. Like, I mean, she's not fake. Like, she's just really sweet. But people are like, well, I'm not that kind of person. I am not Vicki Hafer. I will never be Vicki Hafer. Okay, we all love Vicki Hafer. But being kind doesn't mean you have to be her or necessarily like that. It means you need to show yourself useful. It means you need to act benevolently or be well in your interactions with people, to be well-meaning, to be kind. So love is kind. Number three, love is not jealous. It does not covet. Now, I want to just explain this because there are like five Old Testament scriptures that say about God that he says, I am a jealous God. The reason that that is, if you look up those scriptures in the Old Testament, every one of them regard the people going after other gods. And I am not a jealous person, but if Rick was going after another woman, which he never will in Jesus' name, I would be very jealous because that's not me being selfish. That is because of the love and commitment that I have for him. And God, we are his bride. So if we go after other gods, and when God's people went after other gods, that wasn't him being selfish or wrongfully jealous. That was because of the love that he had and the commitment that he had made to his people and the commitment that he expected them to make to him. So love is not jealous. Love does not parade itself. The next one. It does not brag. And this goes right along with the next one, so I'm not going to belabor that point. It doesn't brag. The next one, it is not puffed up. Now, I forgot to bring a balloon. Last Sunday night, I had Kaylin blew up a balloon. Because the word is not puffed up, it literally means to inflate. So love does not inflate itself. We don't have, if we're loving, we don't inflate ourselves to be bigger than we are. Because this is the thing. We don't have to do that. We don't have to pretend like we're something we're not. God loves us as we are. He created us as we are. So love, God is love. God doesn't have to inflate himself. I mean, he is God. Like, and we don't have to inflate ourselves because we are children of the Most High God. So when I understand who I am, I can be who God has created me to be as his child and be secure in that. I don't have to inflate myself to be more than I am. So, okay, number six. Love does not behave rudely. This word means offensively impolite or ill-mannered, having a startling abruptness. So this is important because this is one of those things that you might be a rude person and not realize it. So this is a wise thing. Ask someone around you, specifically someone in your family, and then don't get offended when they answer you. Because that's love. Yeah. I'm not trying to create arguments here. But I asked Rick if I could share this. And he's shaking his head. He told me I could. Years ago in our marriage, I said to him, you do not hear the way that you sound. Because he would say things, and I've shared before when we first got married. My parents weren't yellers. They just weren't. We didn't grow up. They didn't yell. Like my dad, you know, we'd have conversations, and he might leave and go to the church. But they were not yellers. Rick's family, they are loud. They're just loud. They're wonderful. I love them. But there's a lot of them, and it would just get very loud. And so we would be having conversations, which would escalate, and I would say, don't yell at me. And he would say, I'm not yelling. You know? I mean, and I'm like, obviously, you know, I mean, and so I said to him, you do not hear the way that you sound, because sometimes we need somebody to tell us these things about ourselves, which is why God put people in our lives. Listen, my dad used to say the ministry would be really easy if it wasn't for the people, because if you know my dad, he was real and he would say things like that. But the truth is, love would be really easy if I didn't have to love other people. And some people say that I don't have any problems with God. It's the people that I have issues with. But listen, if you understand, God put those people into your life. And he said, you cannot say, in 1 John, he said, you cannot say that you love God if you don't love other people. You don't get to pick and choose. You don't get to say, I want one and not the other. You have to take them both. And sometimes the best way to learn whether or not we are actually loving is to ask the people closest to us. Say, do I sound rude? And if they say yes to you, don't get offended and mad at them. You know, This is how we grow, okay? So, do not behave rudely. Love does not behave rudely. Love does not seek its own. Philippians 2:4 says, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. So love is not selfish. It's easy to get selfish, but that's not love. It's easy for me to think, I don't want to do that. That is not comfortable for me. I wish they wouldn't have said that to me. But love doesn't seek its own. Love is about a whole lot more than my own interest and what's comfortable for me and what I like and what I feel like. Love is about all of you and about God and about the rest of the world. And as Christians, God calls me to lay down my life for my friends, first and foremost for Him, and second for other people, so that other people can come to know Jesus. And sometimes God calls us into things that are uncomfortable for us. But love does not seek its own way. Love is not irritable. The next one means having or showing a tendency to be easily annoyed or made angry. This is another one. You might be an irritable person and not realize it. And if you think that's just the way I am, people just have to get used to it, you're wrong. Because if the people around you think that you're irritable and you refuse to admit it and refuse to change because you think this is just who I am. No, it isn't. Because if you're irritable to other people around you, you're not showing love. Because you're not supposed to be seeking your own way. Rick, in one conversation that we had at one point, he said to me, you just want me to talk to you like you're a princess. And, like, we were arguing. Like, and so it was one of those, like, hyperbole, like, I'm going to go way over here. And I looked at him and I went, pretty much. I mean, I'm thinking, yes, if you do, then, you know, if I talk to you like you're a prince and you talk to me like we're a princess, things will be good. Like, right? Things will be. I mean, honestly, like, yes, it's not like that all the time. But that is the goal, is my point. You don't just go, well, this is just how it is. You're just going to take it or leave it. No, that's not growth. Growth means I am continually becoming more like Jesus, and I am loving people. And I'm not just loving them how I want to be loved. I'm loving them how they need to be loved. So there's a whole book about that with marriage, and there's a lot of things you can learn about that. Okay, thinks no evil, keeps no record of wrongs, it says in some versions. That's because the word thinks means to take an inventory. So it doesn't take an inventory. It doesn't keep a record of wrong. It doesn't, you know, listen, we in relationships, parents and children, friendships, spouses, we should not throw the past back in somebody's face unless the goal is to fix it. Now, if you're bringing something up because it has never been resolved and we need to resolve it, that's one thing. But if you're just throwing it back in somebody's face, like I said, in any relationship, or you're holding on to it, you got to forgive that thing. Even if the person hasn't fixed it. That's another Lou Dialism. She told me one day, Shannon, you don't have to wait for the person to correct the behavior to forgive them. And I was literally like, what? How can I forgive if the person has not fixed it? Because forgiveness isn't about them, and it's about God. It's about saying, God, you are the righteous judge, and I am giving this to you, and I am offering forgiveness to this person because you offered it to me. Not because they deserve it or because I deserve it, but because He paid for it. That's forgiveness. And we have to release things if we're going to move forward in relationships. And God wants us to. Doesn't rejoice in sin, but rejoices in the truth. This is very important because the world right now, and I'm going to go through these last ones quickly. The world right now thinks that love equals acceptance. If you love me, then you will accept everything about me as truth. Love does not rejoice in sin, but it rejoices in truth. So I can love someone and not agree with them because their lifestyle or what they're saying or what they're doing doesn't line up with the standard of the Word of God. And I can still love them. But I can say to them, that is sin because the Bible says it's sin. So love doesn't rejoice in sin, but it rejoices in the truth. It doesn't mean that I don't love them. God so loved the world. God loved the world while it was wrong, clearly saying, you are sinners, and yet I love you. It didn't mean that he's just going to take everybody to heaven and pretend like sin doesn't exist. That's not love. Love is, this is the standard. You're not living up to the standard. Jesus came to make us able to live in the standard because of what he did, because he died on the cross so that we could receive his forgiveness. So love doesn't rejoice in sin, but rejoices in truth. Love bears all things, which means forbear is a word that you see used a lot in the King James and New King James. Politely or patiently restrain an impulse to do something. Love is forbearing. One of the verses that we've been praying a lot, Ephesians 4:1-3, it talks about loving in the church. And verse 3 says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. If we're going to be in unity, we have to forbear. We have to love each other. We have to step over things. We have to love God more than we love ourselves and our offenses. And we have to love him first. And then we have to love him, other people with his love. The Lord showed me years ago, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. I'm like, if I'm loving God with all of that, like what love do I have to offer back to anybody else? I don't. That's the beauty. I give all of my imperfect human love to him. And then he allows his perfect God love to flow through me. But it's a connection that I have to keep going, keep stay connected with him. Love believes all things. To have faith in, to entrust, especially one's spiritual well-being to God. If I really love God, I will entrust my life to him. Because love believes all things. Love hopes all things. To expect or confide in a religious sense. To wait for salvation with joy and full confidence. This is the Greek definition of hopes. So love expects for God to do what he said he's going to do. It is faith. It is connected with faith. Love endures all things, which means to take patiently, to suffer under misfortunes and trials, to hold fast to one's faith in Christ. Jesus embodied love in that he endured all things. And he never failed, which is the last one. Never fails to be driven out of one's course, to drop away. Love does not fail. It does not allow other people to pull us off of the course, or even self and the enemy to pull us off of the course that God has established for us. And it is a fight. Listen, all of us sometimes, it feels like it would just be easier to throw in the towel. To just do my own thing and live how I want to and act how I want to and respond how I want to. Like, I'm tired of being the bigger person. I'm tired of, you know, doing what I'm supposed to do. But ultimately, if we choose the flesh way, it's never better in the long run. And then we start catching consequences of the sins that we committed. So I want to close with this. Okay. If we see areas where we are not like these things, we need to be honest with God, with ourselves, and with others, and ask for his help. We love as we stay connected in relationship and humility to him and to others. So I challenge you to ask the Holy Spirit to point out one area to work on this week. You might just be overwhelmed if you try to work on all of them. But ask God, what area do you want us to work on? Will you help me? And then you listen when he speaks. We don't get to the place where we stop growing in love. We all need to continue growing in love. So as this song plays, love starts with the one who loved us first. I can't love anybody else if I don't allow God's love to change me. It starts with my relationship with him. So I just challenge you, if you have not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, it is a great day for that.